owns them. Pharmaceutical companies own them. The highest bidder owns them. And you and I have no place at that table. All we have is a little bit of money to send and one vote each. They don't see that as important. They don't really care. There is a number of things that we can do. Take the financing of elections and put it into public funds, not where they have to go out and prostitute themselves to the highest bidder to make sure that they can get back in office. We have a responsibility, and that responsibility is to keep our form of government going. Politicians are important. Now, of course, the Limbaughs and others will talk about those politicians as being something horrible. I remember one Republican friend telling me that the best thing he could say about Bill Clinton was that he was a great politician. He meant it as an insult. I took it as not. This is America. We are a democracy. And our politicians are the ones who represent us. Politics is the form of democracy. I've been to countries with kings. I've been to countries with sultans. I've been to countries with dictators. There are no politicians. The politicians are there to serve us. I think the news forgets it. I know that the right-wing radio forgets it. And I'm really afraid that our politicians forget it as well. They forget who they're there to serve. They will convince themselves that they're doing the right thing. But any time they vote against the American people, any time they refuse to bring up issues related to America, they're not doing the right thing. They are serving themselves and serving their masters. And their masters are not us. They are the corporations. They are the rich. They are the people who have money who can buy the votes and buy the representation. Well, my vote's for sale too. And I hope your vote is for sale. And I hope that you hold the politicians accountable. And every single email that I get from them, I write back the same thing. You may not have my vote and you may not have my money until this war has ended and Bush is impeached. It is very important that we hold our politicians accountable. And if your district happens to have a Oreocrat, vote him out or her out in the primary. Get in a true Democrat. Even if you have to run yourself, get somebody in there who is going to represent you, represent me, represent America, not the corporate big dogs. They are already represented by the Republicans. They don't need to be represented by the Democrats. And I am totally convinced that no Democrat would represent them and represent them only. But Oreocrats will. Sad thing about it is that an Oreo cookie is sweet and tasty and absolutely wonderful. An Oreocrat stinks of putrefaction. They're slimy. They're distasteful. And they're not worth being around. I will hold my representative accountable. I will not give a penny of my money nor my vote to a man or a woman who will not represent my point of view. And it's easy to see who they represent. Take a look at just what's been in the news lately. What's happened? We've had them to stop an entire day of work for us to condemn MoveOn.com. MoveOn. For an ad that they had every right to put in the paper. It made perfect sense. And all of a sudden the news and the right-wing media started yelling and screaming. They called him a betrayer of America. They don't support our troops in the field. Well, excuse me, idiots. They didn't say anything about the troops in the field. They were talking about one general who came into Congress and lied for this administration. One general who has betrayed us. And they've made it into something bigger than it is. They set up a straw man, a fake issue, and everybody went crazy about it. They're talking bad about the troops. It was bull. Of course it was bull. And we know it was bull. But half of our congressmen, half of the Democrats, I'm sorry, the half of the Democrats who are Oreocrats, took their time out from doing decent work and voted to condemn Move On. They said that kind of language has no place in American politics. But where were they? Where were they to condemn the remarks of Rush Limbaugh, Beck, all the other morons who are the talking heads for the Republican Party, the propaganda ministry for the Republican Party, the Joseph Goebbels of the Republican Party? Did they take another day or even a half day or even 10 minutes to condemn them? No, they didn't. Probably their corporate sponsors wouldn't have liked it if they did. I'm sorry. To me, that's being two-faced and dishonest. If you will go out of your way to condemn your own, but you won't walk across the street to condemn one of theirs, that's not doing my business. That's not buying my vote. That's going in the opposite direction. That's sad. But that's what we're facing now. A group of people who think it's more important to placate murderers and liars and thieves than it is to do the people's business in the people's house and the people's senate. We have been betrayed, not only by General Petraeus, but also our own Oreocrats. My vote's for sale. And it's going only to those that will work for me. Only for those that will make sure that health care comes to all of America. Not just the rich and not just the poor. For many years, the poor haven't supported America because they can't. And that's sad. And for many years, the rich have not supported America because they won't, and they own the Oreocrats and the Republicans. For all of these years, we in the middle class have been supporting America. We have paid for the roads. We have paid for the air traffic controllers. We have paid for what port security there is. We've done the living and the dying in the military. And we have fought our way into schools and put ourselves years in the debt so that we can get educated or our children can be educated. None of these things have to happen. When the cost of health care in America would just be 2 weeks of what it costs to be in this stupid war in Iraq, and we sit and argue about whether or not we can provide health care to a few more children, this is retarded. It's stupid. We need to be working for America. And we need to be working for those who are supporting America. And it's not the rich. It's the middle class. You and I. We are the ones who are living and dying and supporting this country. And we are the ones who are not being represented. I can understand the Republicans being what they are. A snake will bite you because it's a snake. But I do not expect members of my own party to betray us as they have done. I, for one, am beginning to think that it may not be a bad idea for me. You do what you want to do. After the primaries, and after I vote for the ones who really will support us, and it's not the front runners, by the way, after I cast my vote, I may withhold my vote from the general election. I really don't care if the Republicans get in for another 8 years. Obviously, America's not in enough pain yet. The stupid people haven't been hit in the head hard enough yet. And obviously, my party, the Democratic Party, the party that I love and that I've been voting for since I was 18, doesn't seem to care about you or me or anybody in the middle of America. I cannot name a single thing that they have done since 06. Other than talk big, they have done nothing. And I have no hope that after 08 and they get completely in power that they're going to do anything then. Because what needed to have been done hasn't been done and will not be done later, because it can't be. Bush needed to be impeached. He was evil, and he needed to be taken out as our Constitution allows us to do. But why do we have to yell and holler and beg and plead our party members into doing what they are elected to do, which is to serve America and keep and preserve the Constitution of the United States of America? And when there is a president who has committed high crimes and misdemeanors, there is a way of taking them out, a peaceful way. It is there for a good reason. And at least half of the Democratic Party, those Oreocrats, are too afraid to make that move. I'm almost ashamed to say I'm a Democrat now. I have kept the faith. I have worked for my party. I have done everything I could to support them. It shames me and embarrasses me that they don't give back what they receive. Look at the emails they send you. What are they doing? All they're doing is asking for more and more and more. Give, give, give. And they take, take, take. But they don't seem to be giving back anything of any importance. It saddens me that I have to say these kind of things, but it saddens me more that I feel totally and completely unable to affect change in my representatives. What is it that makes a person lose their backbone and roll over and give up everything to an evil force just so that they will look strong? It makes no sense to me. It is completely insane. They are afraid of being called cowards and traitors and supporters of terrorists, so they give everything they can to the terrorists among us. Those that are in the White House, those that are in Casablanca, Spanish for White House. The cut-rate parasites. Now, that's how I feel today. Tomorrow I may feel a little bit different. Tomorrow I may be willing to give away my vote and not sell it for representation? I don't know. I'm an incomplete construct. I'm still in development. I'm still becoming who I am. So I'm not setting anything yet. All that I know is that we need representation. And as of yet, I don't see it happening. Well, that's my ranting and my raving. I don't want to leave you on a bad note tonight. Most of the things that are going on is pretty good nowadays. We still need to clean the House and Senate, by the way. Yes, we do need to take all the Republicans out. But we may also need to look very seriously at some of the Oreocrats and start taking them out as well. But let that go. Let that not be a worry to you today. We've got through 3 hours of this, and it's been fairly fun. I've certainly been able to rant and rave, which always makes me feel a little bit better. I hope that I made some friends, and I hope you know that I'm your friend. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I have, and perhaps if things work out okay, I'll do it again, but then that's going to depend completely on you. And of course, Bob and the Head On Network, because without them I wouldn't have a voice. And so I really thank Bob, Agnes, Bruce, everybody, for all their support on all those times when I didn't have even this voice, but I had their voice. It's been fun for me to be with you, and now it's all up to you. If you want me to be back, if you want to hear me again, then it's all up to you. If you find that my voice was true, if you find that I said something that touched you, then make it known, and I'll be back. It's all up to you. And if my voice be true, from these broken hills, I again will sing to you.
If it be your will that I speak no more, and my voice be still as it was before, I will speak no more. I shall.
Waterboarding. Simulated drowning. Not a problem. It was Bradbury who took the president's signing statement after that congressional law and made sure.
This is the Head-On Radio Network, The Horn.
State Director Michael Hayden is investigating the agency's inspector general, according to newspaper reports published today in the New York Times and Los Angeles Times. The unusual move comes after the in-house investigator criticized top CIA officials for their handling of the September 11th attacks. Former Vice President Al Gore and the UN's climate change panel were awarded the Nobel Peace Prize today for their work on increasing awareness of global warming and how to counteract it. In his comments today, Gore described the urgency of the situation as a, quote, true planetary emergency, end quote. There are questions about whether Gore will enter the race for the 2008 Democratic presidential nomination. Some of his advisors have said that this award will not make it more likely that he will run. The White House praised Al Gore for winning the prize. A White House spokesman said President Bush is, quote, very happy for the vice president. In Moscow today, high-level talks about the U.S. missile defense plans for Eastern Europe did not reach a resolution other than an agreement to meet again. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Secretary Robert Gates took part, along with Russian President Vladimir Putin, who warned the U.S. to back off. The lower house of parliament of Germany today voted to extend the deployment of 3,000 troops in Afghanistan for another year. Public opinion polls in Germany find that most Germans want the forces to come home. Turkey's prime minister indicates his country may begin a cross-border offensive into northern Iraq to battle Kurdish rebels. He said Turkey would not be deterred by the possible diplomatic consequences for the already strained relations with the United States. In a Baghdad shopping area today, a parked car bomb blast killed four people. Two of the victims were policemen. Friday is a holiday that marked the end of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. The prime minister of Myanmar has died after a long illness. General Sowin was 59 years old and had leukemia, according to family members. Democratic Senator Edward Kennedy underwent surgery today without complications to unblock an artery in his neck. His office says he will remain in the hospital for a few days. City officials in New Orleans have drastically cut back rebuilding plans after Hurricane Katrina. The original $1 billion plan is now cut down to $200 million. This is the Quality News Network.
For an insider's look at quality news coverage, be sure to read two of the latest books by award-winning journalist and author Tony Seaton. The Quality Interview and Don't Mess with the Press transport the reader into the world of journalism, including the ups and downs of network news coverage and what it's really like reporting the important events we see happening every day around the world. Don't Mess with the Press is an intriguing and engaging chronicle of Tony's early career, beginning with his start as a copy boy for ABC News back in the 1970s, to working his way up to become producer of network news interviews for Barbara Walters. The Quality Interview is the definitive guide to the art of the interview. Learn interviewing basics and much more, including how to get crucial information out of even the toughest interview. For more on Don't Mess with the Press and The Quality Interview by Tony Seaton, visit our website at www.qualitynewsnetwork.com.
The Netherlands, known for its permissive drug policy, will ban the sale of hallucinogenic mushrooms after the recent death of a teenager. Lipstick is the latest product to be recalled over concerns that it may contain lead. A U.S. consumer rights group found that more than half of the 33 brands tested contained lead. Oracle is offering an unsolicited $6.7 billion to buy software rival BEA Systems. The board of directors at BEA responded that the offer significantly undervalues the company. The gap between rich and poor in the U.S. is widening, according to the latest IRS data. The richest 1% of Americans earned a record 21.2% of all income in 2005, up from 19% the year before. Gasoline prices were up 8.4% in September, according to the latest government report. That is the largest increase since February. Gold is trading at $753.80 an ounce. Light sweet crude was trading briefly above the $84 a barrel mark in record territory. It's currently trading at $83.69 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow Jones was up 78 points, ending the day at 14,093, the NASDAQ up 33, and the S&P 500 up 7. There's always more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! We've made it to Friday, and it's kind of brisk outside here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful West by God, Virginia. But that's no reason not to come on out to the front porch. It is, in fact, a Front Porch Friday here on the Horn. And you're welcome to pull up a chair, sit back in the split cane-backed rocking chair, get a pull off the jug, whatever pleases your fancy. You are welcome, welcome, welcome. And... well, you know the big story today. And I have a question for you. Who is John Galt? Who is John Galt? Now, you know where that, most of you know where that line comes from. It comes from the unbearably execrable scribblings of Ayn Rand in her Atlas Shrugged. 1,000 pages of mind-numbing hatred for, like, everybody but the people she was groupieing at. But the central theme of the book is, who is John Galt? And it turns out John Galt is a man of great genius who has withdrawn his time and his talent from the world in which he developed. Now, bear in mind, of course, that Ayn Rand thought that everybody who made and or sold a widget was the be-all and end-all of capitalism and of civilization as a whole. She worshipped at the shrine of industry. She declared people who want a responsive government to be moochers and looters. if she were alive today, she would have, I am sure, said that, for instance, what happened on the Gulf Coast during Katrina was exactly what they had coming, because she was mean, spiteful, and hateful. But there is a theme of people in that book, the people with brains, people with good minds, who refuse to participate in a decrepit and failing society. And the leader of that group is John Galt. And throughout the course of the book, it becomes a byword for a frustrated culture. Well, we just had a blackout in the city. Eh, who's John Galt? In point of fact, our very good friend Eugene Finnerman over at FinnermanWorks.com, your RDA of irony, noted this yesterday in a post entitled Atlas Kvetched. Eugene Finnerman is, after all, the sharpest satirist on the web, bar none. And he said yesterday, today I want to pay tribute to my fellow satirist Alicia Rosenbaum, who actually made a cult of bad manners. Jack Kirby or Stan Lee could have immortalized her as a comic book heroine, Super Yenta. However, she preferred to reinvent herself as Ayn Rand. Eugene notes her philosophy, objectivism, is a synonym for chutzpahism. At my local supermarket, I frequently encounter her disciples, the Hadassah kamikazes, who ram their shopping carts into you and then complain about your clumsiness. Eugene goes on to note, however, that it is the 50th anniversary of the publication of Atlas Shrugged, what Eugene refers to rightly as a sociopath's guide to ridiculous writing. He says, if you can't get enough of bombastic prose, I'd recommend the Ayn Rand cookbook. Just savor her recipe for brisket. First, take an inferior species. The unimaginative would use a cow. If you really want to assert your superiority, use a family pet. Then place yourself and the animal in a vat of boiling water. If you scream, start over and repeat until you master your weakness. It goes without saying, well, no, it doesn't. When Ayn Rand has a sex scene in Atlas Shrugged, it's usually something far more resembling rape than love. She was pretty much a nasty brute. At any rate, that question, on the 50th anniversary of the publication of her execrable scribblings, comes back today to haunt us. For the first time in time that I am able to recall, that question, who is John Galt, has real meaning for us today. Now, it turns out that the saviors weren't the industrialists. The saviors weren't the people of great minds who wanted to make things to better humanity, but were put down by the liberals. See, when you read Atlas Shrugged, you can see entire segments of Rush Limbaugh lifted directly from the pages. No, it turns out that John Galt does not come from industry. Not at all. Who is John Galt? Al Gore is John Galt. On this program and others on this network and other programs on other networks, you've heard promos and PSAs played fairly begging Al Gore to get into the presidential fray. And I would say with almost 100% certainty now, and I would happily eat my words, Al Gore is not going to get into the presidential race. Now, while most of the right wing screams that Senator Clinton is some sort of pagan, you know, child sacrifice or whatever, her prayers, I believe, have been answered. More and more people are coming out and declaring for her candidacy. And her nightly fallings to her knees to beg, please, Jeebus, don't let Al Gore get into the race, look like they are going to bear fruition. Who is John Galt? Al Gore is John Galt. Al Gore's genius has been displayed to us time and time and time again, and I am a true admirer of the man. But he has stepped away from us. He has stepped away from us in terms of our desiring a political savior. And he will not participate. I can't blame him. He spent 30 years of his life priming himself for a moment which was subsequently brutally, feloniously, larcenously stolen from him. He was vilified as a serial liar. He was made fool of by the mainstream media and by the likes of Maureen Dowd, who calls herself a liberal, at the New York Times. Much sport was made of Al Gore so as to try to hasten or increase the likelihood that we would be saddled with this pig-eyed, jug-eared little lout who occupies 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. He is the, if you want to continue with the Atlas Shrugged metaphor, the boob at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is the Wesley Mooch of Ms. Rand's scrawl, screed, whatever. But we will call in vain. Much as the Bible says that in the last days people will call Lord, Lord, and not be heard, we will call for Al Gore to get into the race and provide us someone we could feel really good about voting for. But Al Gore will not answer, because Al Gore is John Galt. And I don't blame him. I do not blame him, not one iota. I don't see how anybody could. Why subject yourself to the filth that is a right-wing smear machine that is so snake's belly in a wagon rut low that it attacks a 12-year-old boy with brain damage? Right? All that time, all that skull sweat, all that hard work making the grade, and the time he spent campaigning, only to win the race and have it ripped away from him by thugs like the drug addict William Rehnquist, who at present is roasting over a spit somewhere in hell. All that time, all that effort, so that the mainstream media, instead of actually doing journalism, could publish story after story shot straight out of the fax machine at the Republican National Committee about him claiming to have invented the internets, which was a lie. He didn't make the claim. Or him claiming to have been a model for Eric Siegel's love story, which he did not claim, which was a lie by the sleaze merchants of so-called modern journalism. Al Gore is safe from us. Al Gore is clear of us. We matter to Al Gore because the planet matters to Al Gore. He is well off. He is, as the saying goes in the South, cutting a fat hog. He's untouchable by the hell that most Americans wallow in. He can't be Gitmo'd. He's got great health care. He's got the pension of all pensions. The war on terror doesn't touch him. He doesn't have to take his shoes off at the airport. And winter heating costs really won't matter to Al Gore. His portfolio is diversified. He and Tipper and his progeny are utterly, completely, and totally safe as long as he can keep his son from trying to roll fatties at 110 miles an hour. Who is John Galt? Al Gore is John Galt. And Al Gore has a box seat for the apocalypse. And as he watches from the skybox, he can say to himself, they bought the ticket. Let him take the ride. I don't aim this with any bitterness whatsoever at Al Gore. I admire him. It takes a lot of guts to walk away. As Mama used to say, it takes a lot more guts and brains to walk away from a fight than it does to get in one. Now, if there's any bitterness in my words, they are aimed at us. They are aimed at each and every sleazy, slimy, rotten, gutless, gas bag SOB who ever cast a vote for George W. Bush. It's aimed at the sleazy corporate executives of Diebold and ES&S and Sequoia, who helped make 2000 happen. It's aimed at the members of the Brooks Brothers Revolution, who in true banana republic fashion, members of staffs of various and sundry Republican congressional offices, attacked a public office in Dade County, Florida, to prevent votes from being counted. It is confirmed today, by virtue of the Nobel Prize awarded him, that Al Gore, contrary and despite the stuck pig howlings of the right wing and vile gas bag junkies like Flush Flimball, Al Gore is among the best and brightest of our political class. And he will not participate. Because we do not deserve him. We do not deserve Al Gore. It makes me sad to reach a conclusion like that. But after all, as I have noted on this program a number of times, the Muslims say that there are 99 names for God, and that there is a secret hundredth that the camel knows, only he's not talking. I'll add 101. God is a god of irony. And so, on the 50th anniversary of the publication of Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. At a time when this nation is leaderless, rudderless, and overall hopeless. When what we are promised for our next presidential term is, in one way or another, more of the same. When no one in a so-called front-runner position will commit to even having our troops out of Iraq by as late as 2013. 5 years from now, not one of the so-called front-runners will make that commitment. I will tell you that God is a God of irony. For this misguided, misbegotten thousand pages of agonizing prose features a hero who refuses to be one. And we know who that person is. The hero who refuses to be a hero. The man who will not climb up on the cross for us one more time. The man who has probably recognized the American political process for the dirty, rotten, sleazy, corrupted, filthy thing that it has been made, largely by the works of people like Karl Rove and that rotten rat bastard whose name I can't recall from South Carolina, who on his deathbed tried to apologize for the Willie Hortoning of Michael Dukakis, and all the sleazy, rotten, filthy thugs of the Nixon administration who turned politics into something evil and American civics into something putrid. Al Gore recognizes all of it and refuses to participate. And his refusal is noble. And he will not be riding to your rescue or my rescue or the rescue of a nation that damned well does not deserve it. Take your shoes off, Al. Put your feet up, buddy. Take a little pull on some of Lem Motlow's finest, maybe. Sit back. And watch the avalanche. Sit back. And watch the American dream continue to crumble around our very ears. And understand as you sit there, Al, I love you, man. I do. And I don't blame you one iota. The American people do not deserve you, Al Gore. I don't deserve you, Al Gore. We don't deserve you, Al Gore. Gas bags like Limbaugh, who would benefit under economic policies you might try to enact as president, don't deserve you, Al Gore. Republicans who voted for George W. Bush in either 2000 or 2004 do not deserve you, Al Gore. A lot of you are used to hearing me engage in hyperbole and quite no small amount of sarcasm. I want to make it abundantly clear that there is not one ounce of sarcasm in what I say to you this evening. Who is John Galt? Al Gore is John Galt. And John Galt is not in the rescue business. Let's go to the phones and see who's going to wander up to the front porch. Hey, who have I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan. How are you, dear?
Both happy and sad because I think you're right.
I know I'm right.
Also, you forgot somebody when you were mentioning who was responsible for that election in 2000.
Yeah.
Hey, Sandra Day O'Connor, you happy with what you did yet?
That's true.
You bitch.
Pardon
my language. I didn't threaten her. I just called her a nasty name.
I know. And you can't call her anything nastier than what she did to the American Republic.
Oh, yeah. Now, here is a scenario. According to, and I have read that piece of crap known as Atlas Shrugged, too. And I agree it's a piece of crap. However, John Galt did come back after he crashed the system.
I understand that.
Yeah. Now,
But he did not come back to save the country.
No.
He came back to save. Well, he came back, and then he went away.
Back to save the corporations. Yeah. But consider 2008 is going to be the election where whoever is silly enough to want to go into the White House gets to clean up Georgia's mess.
Mm-hmm.
And be blamed for Georgia's mess.
Yes.
Frankly, I wouldn't.
The winner, 2008, if that person is a Democrat, the 2008 election is an election for Judas Goat.
Yeah.
Maybe Al understands that, too.
Okay, if I were Al, what I would do is I would look around and I'd say, I'll only be 64 in 2012.
I know, but please don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself.
Hey, you gotta take your hope where you can get it. It's either that or go out and hang myself.
The design as it currently stands in the secret halls of the Republican National Committee call for Senator Hillary Clinton to be elected president in 2008. And I said the Republican National Committee, and I mean it. They call for her to be elected in 2008 and to be crowned with the Judas Goat's crown, to be lambasted and bombasted with her loss of the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
It also calls for her to be constantly lambasted with the death of Vince Foster for another 4 years. As I've noted before, Dan Burton of Indiana will take a few boxes of ammunition and a semi-trailer truckload of watermelons out to his backyard and shoot watermelons, screaming that it proves that Hillary killed Vince Foster. We will hear more about Filegate and Travelgate. And as has been proven already by that right-wing gas bag, the junkie Limbaugh, we will be told that she stood by her husband when she knew for a fact that her husband raped Juanita Broderick. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not repeating any of this garbage because I believe it. I don't. It's crazy. It's not a subject of belief. It is non-factual. I am citing this as proof of the evil that will seep like something out of Ghostbusters up through the streets, out of the gutters, fall from the very sky itself for 4 long years until the Republican National Committee can get Jeb Bush ready to be president in 2012.
And that's why I think, let's face it, Hillary can't fight against dear old Jeb.
Susan, can I point something out, please?
Yeah.
I would really like, and I'm not telling anybody how to talk or anything like that, but I would really like for us to start calling her Senator Clinton.
Okay, Senator Clinton could not fight against Debbie. It's not going to happen. Not after what all the crap that's going to get hung around her neck. It's just not in the cards.
No. I'm comfortable saying what I've said. And this is in no wise a reflection upon Senator Clinton.
No.
It is in no wise a comment on her character or her personality or her ability to lead or understand or comprehend. None of that.
It's going to be like the Ghostbusters thing again. She's going to get slimed.
This is nothing but a reflection on what I fully expect from an industry that has been 15 years in the building.
Oh, yeah.
And what they will do to the American body politic, because it must always be remembered that the Republican Party always, always puts party above country and power above patriotism.
But I really, really hope that maybe, okay, say it isn't even Gore, say it's somebody else, will come along and be able to stand up against Debbie. Because you know Senator Clinton is not going to be able, she's going to be a one-term president. Unless she pulls off a miracle. Now, it's possible. It's not likely, but it's possible. But she would have to pull off a miracle.
I don't, you know, I'm not trying to be overly negative. I'm not trying to be negative at all.
I'm trying to be
a realist here. You know, it's just like the little sign that hangs in the AA building, reality spoken here.
Yeah, that's what it would take, is a miracle for her not to get blamed with not only everything she does, but everything Bush did. It's like John Kennedy, they're constantly saying, they constantly call Vietnam Kennedy's dirty little war. Well, never mind the fact that the first people went in 1956.
Yeah, under Ike.
Eisenhower.
But we can't be bothered to remember that.
Yeah. So, she's going to have that hung on her.
Oh, whoever, okay? And that's why people like Giuliani are positioning themselves already by saying, no way will I take so much as one single soldier out of Iraq. Because somehow, if by some sick act of satanic magic, Giuliani becomes president, then he's already told us it's going to be perpetual war for perpetual peace.
Yeah.
Hold on just a second. Let's see if we can get some front porch going.
Sure.
Okay. Nah, quitter. Okay. Now, I didn't want to turn this into a discussion of Senator Clinton.
Well, I understand that. I do want to say one other thing.
Okay.
You're right about the right wing going after Al Gore, because the comments and the message boards on the internet, the thing had been barely announced, and the right wingers were all over the internet spewing talking points.
Yeah. You see, it's been wall to wall Nobel Peace Prize today. And I've already seen, let's see, what is it? So what? They gave the Nobel Peace Prize to Yasser Arafat too. Congratulations, Mr. Gore. What a meaningless award.
Oh, that's one of the milder ones. Some of them are just vitriolic. And that is an adequate
barometer for gauging precisely how badly this stings the right wing.
Oh, I would have given a whole lot to have been able to hear Bush's reaction. Or better yet, Cheney's. I would have loved to have heard it.
Oh, I know what their reaction was. Give him three of them. Give him a dozen. He ain't here and we are.
Yeah, but you know as well as I do that Bush probably threw a tantrum, because the Nobel is something that he is never, ever, ever going to be able to get, and that probably just galls him beyond belief.
Well, and let's see. What are some of the other Bingo Billy Bennett? You know, the guy that sits naked in a private room in Vegas with a slot machine and a bag of Cheetos.
Yeah,
he was on the radio today screaming, "Why didn't they give it to Ronald Reagan?"
Well,
it's hard to give a peace prize to a guy who is single-handedly responsible for the deaths of, what, over 100,000 Central Americans?
Yeah. Iran-Contra invading Grenada. Geez, what did they want?
I know. Look, the Kool-Aid does things to your brain. Let's try this again, see who we got. Welcome to the front porch. Hello?
Hey.